おめえ
無粋のアホ。
プリズムカーメイキアップオンカードレ
ディー。 Welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, talk about themes, and just generally geek out. Today, May 20th, 2018, will be Shoujo and Telling about the series The Full-Time Wife Escapist by Tsunami Umino, which is actually a Jose title, if that wasn't obvious. I'm your host, Ashley McDonald, and I'm joined by Megan DeArmon, who is on the Key to the Kingdom episode. But in case people didn't listen to that episode, Megan, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Megan DeArmon, aka Megan D. I've been reviewing manga for 6 years now, as of this month, on my own review blog, The Manga Test Drive. I also, since the Key to the Kingdom episode, started a side blog for longer reviews, articles, and that sort of thing called Renaissance Jose. I've also done a couple of articles for Anime Feminist, including one on Jose manga itself called Jose Renaissance. And that is part of the reason why I'm here talking to you now about a Jose manga.
Yeah. So you reached out to me being like, I really want to talk about this manga. It's so, you know, underappreciated and all these things. So do you want to give a quick recap of what it's yes. about and like why you think it's so good?
So The Full-Time Wife Escapist is about a 25-year-old woman named Mikuri. And, you know, she's gone through college. She got a grad degree in psychology, but she's at the point where she can't find a job. She can't hold down one. She actually got laid off by her temp agency. And now she's stuck living at home, helping her parents, working a side job as a housekeeper for a mid-30s businessman named Hiramasa. Well, then her parents decide to retire to the country, and she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't want to lose her job. And so she proposes, maybe I could stay with you as your common-law wife, and that way we could keep working, but keep up appearances. And it starts out that way, but slowly and surely they fall in love.
I just love that when that scene happens, Hiramasa does not react in like a, haha, that's a funny way. He's like, I'm going to take that suggestion very seriously immediately. I'm like, what?
And yes, that premise was very eye-catching. This was licensed around the same time when Kodansha licensed Tokyo Tarareba Girls, which you talked about with Amelia. And understandably, Tarareba Girls got a lot more buzz because, you know, from the maker of Princess Jellyfish. It's understandable. It's a brilliant series. But this one, I don't know. I just fell in love with it. And it does not get talked about the same way a lot of the other Kodansha Digital Jose series do, like Tarareba Girls, like even more recently, A Perfect World. Mm. And I'm always a bit of a sucker for the underdog, so I wanted to come on here and talk about it with others, especially now that it's finished, and so people can read it in full.
Yeah, did it finish recently? I'm not even, like, aware.
Not too long ago. I want to say it was less than a year ago.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, The Full-Time Wife Escapist is published by Kodansha only digitally right now. I assume that when they did that survey, you were like, wrote in like, Full-Time Wife Escapist, publish yes. it in print.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I guess it was also, the only Umino title that I'm aware is published in English.
Correct. Although she's had a fairly long career. In the author's notes for volume 4, she notes that when she was writing this series, she celebrated her 25th year as a mangaka.
Yeah, and she was talking about how these were like her 30 and 40 something manga volumes. And I was like, yeah. Wait, what?
She has a long career. And there were like thank you sketches from various other artists, including one that will be familiar to manga fans, especially Kodansha readers, one from Mitsuro Kubo, the co-creator of Yuri on Ice.
Yeah, I loved all those the other sketches because I was like, oh, cool, these look really great. I had not read it until you were like, let's do it on this podcast, and I was like, cool, read this. And then I did really love it. It resonated very hard with me in the same way that Tokyo Tarareba Girls is very like painfully real. This one was less painful though. It was just like, I am so happy to see this portrayal yeah. of alternative relationships and stuff. I'm like, this reassures me about life. I feel okay growing older now.
Yeah, it's not as harsh on its characters as Tarareba Girls, but oh my god, I can't recall the last time I have related so hard to a Jose heroine. there are so many times while reading this and rereading this, I just looked at the page and was like, it me.
All right. So yeah, just before we, now we can go into more spoiler things, but you know, I'll give the spoiler warning of if you haven't read this before, you maybe want to do that before listening to the rest of this, or maybe you don't. I don't know you. You do you. But yeah, so now I've just been starting off most things with a character walkthrough, so you really relate to McCurry. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I knew I was going to like her within the first few pages, because she starts doing like this TV-style interview talking about her backstory, basically. And it takes a little while to realize, oh, this is imaginary. And not only is it a clever way to get through the exposition, but it also lays out her problem, you know. She has this advanced degree, but she can't hold down work. And she's the kind of person who only feels real purpose when she's working. So she just feels completely adrift in life. And already was like, okay, I understand this woman so hard. As someone who got a degree in a social science and has had difficulty applying it to her working career, I feel this so hard.
Yeah, I liked McCurry because, like, I liked the parts where, you know, at the very end, too, they're talking about how she's like, it's not fair that, like, I have to do all this housework, but now you don't pay me. And I'm just like, yeah, I agree. Like, my relationship currently is that my boyfriend Jeff, if I do his laundry, I'm like, I'll do it if you pay me money. Like, that's fine. So I will do his laundry for like $20. That's cool. And I'm like, thank you, manga. You understand me. Like, you get it.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a lot of discussion about relationships and work and weird overlaps between them, but that's getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah. But there's also, she's the kind of person who really needs praise, because unfortunately, thanks to some really crappy exes in her past, she's the kind of person who almost regards her feeling this as a burden upon others. Like, oh, don't let me burn you with my feelings or my ideas. You might not like them, whatever. So even when she just gets a simple praise for just doing tasks around the house really well, she just blossoms, and it's so darling, and it's so relatable.
Oh yes, I love all the moments where they like do the simplest things and they're like, you're so cute, we're so cute. I'm like, you guys are painfully cute, please. It hurts me like how cute this is. There's just a whole chapter where it's just like about hugging, and I'm like, oh my god, this is just several panels of hugging. I can't I just can't even. Madness. But then there's Hiramasa, who is her partner. And I have to admit that at first I didn't really see, like, why she loved him so much. But did you like him?
He was definitely interesting from the start, because he's, like, his mid-30s, IT-type person. They never really quite specify. And for a moment, you begin to wonder, like maybe he's ace or something. Like, it's not just the fact that he doesn't seek out romantic relationships. He doesn't seek out relationships in general. And it's only really later into the series that you realize, no, he's kind of been purposely shutting people out because relationships are hard, messy. He's just like, I'm just not going to deal with this. Just going to seal this off and move forward and do things simply. And it's worked for all this time. But until he starts interacting with Mikuri, and then when they start their working arrangement, which evolves into a relationship, he realizes, oh, no, I've been missing out on this. Now that I'm over on the other side of the fence, oh, God, things like physical affection and having people look forward to you being home. It's really nice. I like this.
Yeah. Before he was just content to like watch 3 hours of TV and go to bed every night. And I was there was a point later where he's like, before I would just, you know, eat takeout and like sometimes hang out with my friends. I was like, wait, you have other friends? They've never appeared in this manga. Like,
yeah, because we see he's not even terribly close to his coworkers. And it's only once he ostensibly gets married and eventually gets married for real that he actually starts to open up and talk with them and socialize with them.
Yeah, but like before I was like, wait, okay. And then there was a point where he references how he has switched jobs, like IT people switch jobs so much. He's already switched jobs once. And I'm like, okay, slow down, boy. So you've been here for a while and you don't know any of your coworkers? I don't get it. I'm confused, but I mean, eventually I see why she loves him, because he is very, you know, he's sweet and very analytical and treats her right. And I'm like, okay, you live together. That makes sense. It's
And when he does discuss things, he's very straightforward, which is what she needs. Someone who just tells her things as they are, and she helps him with his own problems. So, yes. And, yeah, once he figures out the whole physical affection thing, it's just like, oh, my God, you are so freaking adorable.
There was one point where he was like, I forget what they were talking about exactly, but then he was like, yes, just fall deeper and deeper in love with me. And I was like, Hiramasa flirting is the best flirting because he's just so silly and adorable. Whatever. And then we have this. So then they're all coworker people and family people. The other main couple in this would be Kazami and Yuri. So Kazami, how do we feel about him?
Kazami is... he's an interesting guy, if not a terribly pleasant one. He's one of Hiramasa's co-workers. And honestly, for the longest time, he comes off as a total flake.
So you're not a Kazami fan, is what I'm hearing.
No. Because mostly he's turned off by most people his age being all about, let's get married, let's get married. He doesn't want... and we learn he doesn't really care much for the responsibilities of actually like maintaining relationships. So he kind of purposefully tanks them for his own cynical amusement. But then he finds out about Mikuri and Hirasama's arrangement. And he's like, oh, I kind of want to get in on this. And he kind of starts to fall for Mikuri. But then Mikuri and Hiramasa get together. And slowly but surely he realizes he's not so much into Mikuri. He's into her middle-aged aunt, Yuri.
Yeah. Makes sense. I definitely, in the first, like, two chapters or whatever, when Kazami is introduced, I was like, who is this terrible dude?
Who is this douchebag?
Yeah, who is this douchebag? How can I possibly like him? But then whenever he would, like, elaborate on his points, I was like, okay, I like, get you, Kazami, but, you know, right. You're still difficult.
He's a jackass, but there is a logic to his thinking. Like, right. You can't follow it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, I was always actually really confused because from the beginning I was like, I mean, he's going to fall for Yuri, right? Like, he doesn't actually like Mikuri, but then I was like, does he? I was always very like, I don't know what he's about.
I feel like there was some sincere degree of it, but by the time he figures it out, his opportunity is past and He kind of has to cope with that.
Aw. He has to cope with his douchebaggery by himself. Yeah, I guess he does genuinely like her because they have that one, the early conversation about, like, where Mikuri's like, no, you're not a jackass. Like, you just think this way. And he's like, you get me.
You just have different priorities, yeah. Which he does.
He does. He definitely does.
And they are friends in a way. Like, they can talk to each other and give advice for one another. And since he's the only one who's aware that Mikuri and Hiramasa's marriage is kind of fake, she's the only one who she can come to for advice openly and honestly.
Yeah, because she also starts doing housework for him. So it's like quickly, the jig is up very quickly for that one. I did like the bouts of jealousy in Hiramasa whenever he was like, you can't talk about Kazami. And she's like, what am I supposed to talk about then? Like, that's my life. I don't understand. And I was like, yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I also like the... because, you know, him falling for Yuri is like they eventually live near each other and work in the same building or whatever. And I do like this manga's emphasis on like how proximity is very helpful in just falling for people and coming to understand them.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age. Like, they do briefly mention like, oh, you do all these online dating apps or whatever. And then those relationships are so fleeting because whatever, nobody cares. I'm like, yes, this is the manga about the importance of actually living near each other. Thank you.
And making connections. And
yeah.
And then there's Yuri herself, which feels really unusual, especially for a licensed Jose here to have such a prominent character who is menopausal. She's, I can't remember, she's like 52, 54.
She's 54, I think, is what I read. Yeah.
She's well into menopause, but she never lost her virginity. So while she's been able to maintain this very glamorous, almost jet set sort of lifestyle, as the series goes on, she's increasingly insecure about the fact that she's never really had a lasting relationship, and she's never had a family outside of her niece Mikuri. And the conflict with her age, you know, she finds it hard to relate to men closer to her own age because most of them are already in families, but she can't, you know, openly take a younger lover because society would judge her for that. And because of her own insecurity about her sexuality.
Yeah, I find it fascinating that the final chapter in the last volume is all about her, like, going to a gynecologist and talking about how she is a virgin and menopausal.
Yes, it actually deals with some of the physical realities of having a sexual relationship when you're after menopause.
Yeah, I was like, wow, mind blown. Damn. It's just such a, that's a bold note to end on, like, wow.
But accurate, and I appreciate that.
I know, so good. Yeah, but, like, it shocks me that Yuri, like, you know, she's so pretty and stuff that she never had, like, a one-night stand or something, though. I was always like, I feel like I have to spend so much disbelief for this, but, like, I buy it, but just...
Not necessarily. Like, they mentioned briefly that she, you know, she was in her 20s during the 80s, during the whole bubble economy. So while she was probably, you know, well off and having fun, she was also probably acutely aware, I don't want to get pregnant and end up with a kid. So she just avoided it.
I see.
And then years later, whoops.
Whoops. Tried too hard to avoid it. Aw. Poor Yuri. I like Yuri. Yuri's great. But then I added like two side characters that I feel came to some prominence by the end, which was Numata and Yasan.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Numata.
Numata is Hiramasa's co-worker. He's something closer to like a supervisor. And they make it clear pretty early on that he is openly gay. And you're like, hey, yay, positive, you know, representation. But how the character handled is a little, at times.
Yeah.
He definitely has a bit of a crush on Hiramasa initially. And he kind of pushes himself on Hiramasa a little, and Hiramasa has a little bit of gay panic. And during those moments, it's always just like, maybe can we not do this, please?
Yeah.
But as the series goes on, and although there's also a, I don't know, can you really call it a running gag? He figures out something weird is going on between Hiramasa and Kazami, but he presumes those two are having an affair.
Yeah, that part was, I was like... Wow, we kept this up through all 9 volumes somehow. Okay, where Numata believes this. And on the point of his representation in the beginning, yeah, I definitely, like, cringed the first time that he, like, hugged Hiramasa, and Hiramasa was like, get off me. I was like, oh no, what is this going to be about? Is he going to be portrayed badly? But I did feel like it was at least slightly redeemed when they have the conversation in volume, like, 8 or something, where they're, like, at a work dinner, and Hiramasa's like, you know, sorry, I, like, was a little homophobic in the beginning. I just was afraid that, like, gay people would push themselves on me. And then Numata's just like, well, anybody who forces themselves on anybody else is just committing assault, and they're a criminal, regardless of their gender. And I was like, wow, he just, like, straight up said that truth so hard, and I love it.
Yep. And he is at least a good co-worker to Hiramasa. Later on in the series, when their company undergoes a layoff, he helps set up Hiramasa with a new job.
Yeah, and then they are, he's like so excited about it because he's like, I'm experiencing so many new things. New job, new lady.
Like, new challenges.
New apartment, possibly.
And then very near the end, a minor character, but one who becomes increasingly important to Mikuri's arc is Yasan. Yasan was one of Mikuri's college friends who got married early on and had a kid, but her first husband had an affair. And then she started having an affair with one of her managers and got pregnant by that guy. And then the manager ran off. She got divorced. So now she's a single mom with a little baby. With, I guess, the closest thing Japan has to a hipster name, her name is Hirari, with the Chinese character for Flutter. And now she's kind of stuck working in her grandparents' greengrocery, just trying to make ends meet. But through that, she ends up kind of giving Mikuri new purpose by giving her an unexpected business opportunity.
Yeah. I feel like Yasan is the character that rubbed me the wrong way the most, because I was kind of like, you're cool, but also... I would totally hate you if, like, I told you my ideas, like, which is what Mikuri does. Mikuri gives her a bunch of business ideas, and Yasan's like, no, I don't need your ideas. Like, stop talking to me. I'm mad. And I get that in the heat of the moment, you might think that, but then she, like, immediately turns around and starts to make those ideas reality. And Mikuri is kind of like, hey, what's up? I see you. Like, But then like starts working for them for free. And I'm like, all right, I get that, you know, we do unpaid internships for the experience and whatever, but like, don't do it, McCurry. Don't do it. But it was helpful to her in the end. But still, Yasan was more than Kazami was the one that annoyed me the most.
Really? I mean, I could understand the frustration, but she didn't annoy me that much. And maybe just because she had such limited screen time. And a lot of it is just because she's kind of working on her own thing. Like, she's trying to get a trucking license so she can help out with the grocery and obviously taking care of her own daughter. So she's a busy woman.
She's a busy woman. It's true. Fine. I'll forgive her. I mean, I don't, like, dislike her that much because, yeah, she has limited screen time. So my brain does not have, like, that much capacity for her. But, yeah. So those are all the, like, really big characters. There are some other very minor ones. Like, Hino-san is a running joke of he can never get together.
Oh, yeah.
Because his family is always, like, his kid will get sick and then he can never come. And then everybody else hangs out without him. And he's like, I'm so sad and lonely. I didn't get to hang out with you. Aw, poor Hino-san.
Something you pointed out beforehand is that the full-time wife escapist is not this manga's original title.
Yeah, the original title is apparently a Hungarian proverb, which I think is like on the cover of one of them. I mean, it's all in different languages, but I think it is in Hungarian in at least one cover. And it's Kodansha translated it as running away is embarrassing but useful, which is very fitting for the manga, but I can see why they renamed it from that because
yeah,
it's very awkward.
But yeah, this series uses a lot of proverbs, at least for the chapter titles, all sorts of one, not just Hungarian ones like that, but Japanese, Chinese, English.
Yeah, and Kodansha had a lot of fun trying to be like, how do I translate them?
Noises. I'm
just going to make a million footnotes about how it's actually different, but we made one that's similar in English because that's easier.
And admittedly, it's a cute enough touch, but how do you think it fits in thematically? I mean, does this feel much like a modern fable?
I mean, it's like it doesn't really feel like a modern fable, but it does involve a lot of people telling you things about life that you normally do not necessarily hear in more mainstream things, I suppose. So in that way, I'm like, it's clearly giving, it's full of life advice. With caveats of, like, you know, the author will very blatantly in the end notes be like, look, if you had kids and have a family, like, great, I love you. I just want you to foster, like, something. Like, everybody just needs purpose in life, fostering some sort of community. It doesn't matter what that community is. Not here to, like, preach to you or whatever, you know? The solution that these characters come to is just the solution that works for them. But clearly the running away one is very much like, they run away, but then in the running away, they think about things and then come back. And it has helped them. They have gotten over their embarrassment at running away. And now they are ready to handle whatever life has thrown at them. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I see that. I get that.
Yeah, because I was very, I mean, it all ties back into the theme of like presenting alternatives to the things that I wrote down were marriage, work, and family. I think those are all the major ones.
Yeah, I'd say that pretty much covers it. And they're admittedly, they're kind of big things.
Yeah.
And the most obvious thing is with the alternative marriage and how that works out. Yeah, it's interesting how much emphasis Mikuri and Hiramasa actually put on like negotiation and boundaries and talking things out professionally.
But it makes so much, like, the things that they talk about are like, yes, that is always a pain point in relationships. So why can't we all just talk about it? And there are moments where, in the beginning in particular, where they're like, I don't know what, because the boundaries are like blurring. They're like, do we like each other? I don't know. How do they feel?
Yeah, a lot of the romantic tension midway through is mostly them having pants feelings for one another. And just like, I don't know how to talk about this because he's my boss or she's my employee. And I don't want to cross that boundary because that would be unprofessional. But oh my God, I want to touch them.
Yeah. So wait, let's talk about how we want to touch each other. Let's hug twice a month. that's good.
Like, but yes, and part of that is McCoy realizing, okay, he's got some, you know, some physical issues. He has boundaries, and I need to respect those. So we need to kind of handle this slowly.
Yeah, and I love their, like, going into the relationship backwards, because I mean, it somewhat makes, again, it just somewhat makes sense. Like, they're like, I don't know about you. Okay, we're gonna do this thing. Okay, we've hung out a lot for like a year. I kind of like you. Okay, let's explore that. But like, let's
hold hands. Let's hug.
Yeah.
Let's... Oh my god, hugging is awesome. Let's kiss. Oh my god, kissing is awesome. Oh my god, let's actually get married. Let's date. Let's yeah. put each other on the marriage registry.
I'm very confused why dating is always kind of like skipped. They're always just like, okay, we kissed, like, let's get married. I'm like, guys, calm down.
Well, in fairness, Hiramasa's never had a relationship. He's just like, oh my god, relationships are awesome. Let's do this. Let's do this for real.
Let's do it. Yeah. I was just like, okay.
Like, oh my god, you eager little puppy. You are so adorable.
You're so adorable. Pet, 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 pet. Yeah. No, I watching the relationship form, I'm like, it just makes so much sense. I wish I could have, because I feel like in my own relationship, there are definitely times where it's like, we should just sit down and like hammer out these specific things. I'm like, yeah, it just makes sense. But we all are so, what I'm afraid is that like the note that their relationship ends on is kind of like their schedules are off sync. And I'm like, wait, so now you don't see each other at all when you're awake? Like, that doesn't seem like it's going to work out very well, but okay. Because it's like, Hiramasa's getting there after she's gone to bed at night, and then she wakes up to go to work before he has awoken. I'm like,
Things do work out in the end, but yeah, I mean, as things go on and they start to settle into a more regular marriage and into a more normal working marriage, they realize, you know, it's marriage is still hard work. They still have to negotiate things like schedules and boundaries and that sort of thing, but they're able to get through it because they already have this established base where they just talk to each other professionally and clearly and assert how they feel and what they need. And while the business like angle can make it seem a little dispassionate, it gives them enough distance to kind of address things clearly.
Right. That's what I was going to, I was like, I feel like lots of people would gut react to this being like, oh my God, this is terrible. They made it all into a business and marriage isn't supposed to be a business. It's supposed to be about like raw feelings or whatever. And I'm like, no, but it is a business. Like it's all tied. Like the institution of marriage is mostly like how they use it, which is like, you know, you get benefits from the government and all these things, you get societal benefits. And I'm like, yeah, there's clearly like a business aspect to it, aside from your emotions. Like, gotta try at least like think about it a little bit that way.
And we see ultimately that their marriage is happier than a lot of those, the people around them. You know, most of the people they know who married early, when society normally says the point you should get married, all have gone through divorces or are single parents or are just otherwise not in the happiest relationship.
Yeah, I guess like only Hino is actually a counter thesis to that. Like he seems okay and in a traditional marriage. We don't really know that much about him though. So it's kind of like, I'm just like assuming that. He always seemed like a relatively happy dude. He had a kid. His wife shows up at one point. It's good. Yeah, I also liked the discussion of how, I'm surprised this didn't come up earlier, about how they like didn't wear rings to show to everybody that they were married.
Yeah, although admittedly the whole wedding ring thing was a Western tradition, so you know it only became a thing once De Beers started pushing it in Japan.
Yeah, I guess I don't know that much about like what Japan does when they're married. But then I found it weird when they started suggesting tattoos, because I was like, aren't tattoos taboo in Japan? That's the thing I know.
Oh, yeah. It's mostly just Mikuri throwing out alternatives, because she likes to think things through. She likes to plan. And then Hiramasa's like, but I want to get you a ring. She's like, okay.
Yeah, she's like, actually, I don't want anything, but wouldn't it be cool if we got tattoos? I hear you can surgically remove those these days. And he's like, and then she's like, but I would not, like, I would like a ring. And then he's like, okay, let's just go with that one. That's easiest, McCurry. Calm down. Cool. But yeah, you know, if marriage is a business, they also actually talk about how business is a business and how it should or should not be run for many people. I mean, there is no one solution, right? But they talk many times about what is ideal for most situations.
Yes, the working world is a far bigger theme than I honestly expected when I first started reading this. But that's also part of the reason it is so freaking relevant. Because Umino understands a lot about what the post-millennial working world is like. Like, there's a lot of talk about how labor is cheapening because of, like, globalization and major corporations breaking down. And early on, I can't remember who states this, but I remember writing this down because it is kind of one of the thesis statements of this manga. And it's just try to do business in your own little world. And what they mean by that is kind of filling in the gaps between these larger companies or industries, kind of connecting people to one another. And that ends up becoming a lot more relevant as the series goes on.
Yeah.
Hiramatsu ends up at this kind of startup company whose job it is basically to connect businesses to suppliers. And even that's what Mikuri ends up doing while she's helping out with Yasan's green grocery. She kind of brings together all these other local business people and tries to help boost their business.
Yeah, I feel like Mikuri might have said that, but don't quote me on that, anybody. Don't hold me to that. Or maybe Kazami, because I feel like it was in one of those earlier conversations.
I think it was Kazami, yeah. Like, yeah. There are, like, more than once, you'll get, like, two, three, four pages where people are just having a conversation about the workforce. And some people might find that dry, but I found that fascinating just because it was so unexpected to come up in what is otherwise this very unconventional little romance.
No, I felt the same way. I was like, I feel like some people could see all these text dumps about them talking about globalization and whatever as just like super boring. Like, who cares? Why are you writing this essay to me? But I was like, no, I love it. This is exactly like the weird, deep conversation that you have occasionally with your friends about whatever your life in general, how society should function. I'm like, yes, that's what I want to see.
And it's weird how much this is both relevant to just Japan in particular right now with its aging workforce and a younger population that isn't necessarily following the standard path as far as going into work and having families and all that, but also how relevant that is to the rest of the Western world.
Yeah, because there are definitely points where I felt like it was super Japanese. Even just like in simple conversations where one of Mikuri's friends points out how she's doing like an Airbnb-esque thing. She's like, I'm just renting out a space and it's not even that nice, but as long as it's clean, nobody cares. And then they start talking about like, oh, like what tourists are the best and the worst? And she's like, Americans are the worst. And I was like, yes, we are. Thank you.
And it's not even because they're necessarily bad. It's just like everyone just feels alienated around them.
Oh, we're sorry, world. But yeah, but I'm just like, no, like talks about isolationism and all those things that they talk about. I'm like, those are clearly problems that plague America too. Like, we are having the same backlash. I think, you know, the main difference between America and Japan perhaps is that like, because we are more into like immigration, like we have more immigrants and stuff, our population is not dropping like Japan's is. So that's like the one big difference that I was like, okay, but otherwise like less babies towards isolationism, angst about globalization and how it has destroyed connections, plus businesses, plus robots coming to kill us all. It's all very relevant. Robots are coming. No, and Numata has the good thesis that I liked, where he's just like, or I think it was actually one of his coworkers says it, but they're both like, you know, jobs that create more jobs are the jobs that we need to create, because otherwise you're just like, if you're only
that's right.
Making.
He talks about the guy who created tea ceremonies back in the Edo period ended up creating other jobs because it spurred production for ceramic makers and tea makers and flower arrangers and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, jobs where it's purely like you are making it easier to do one job are not as great as just like figuring out ways to help people make new jobs. And I was like, yes, thank you.
And there are obvious parallels between the literal working world and what's going on in the relationships here, more so than you would think.
I know. it all blurs together, but they also try so desperately, like, in it all blurring together, it's because they're trying to make them so separate and keep them into their proper compartmentalized boxes to make it clearer for each other and make it easier for each other. And I'm like, ah, yes, you have captured the paradox quite nicely here.
Yes. And then there's family, because, you know, and this does relate to some more Japanese anxieties, because as we see, Mikuri's parents are reaching retirement age and kind of retreating from the business world. And I guess these younger people trying to find their place and find a comfortable place where they can even begin to think about starting families. But you see a lot more, I guess, more unconventional families, a lot more single parents, a lot more divorcees, a lot more, I guess, longer lived bachelors and bachelorettes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was thinking about for family also is just that, like, Yuri and Mikuri's relationship is really great, that they're so close, and, like, of course Yuri is a very special aging person.
Yeah, she's a bit neurotic about it, because she does hold Mikuri very dear to her, and she's almost a daughter to her, but she also doesn't want to be too much of a mom. She still wants to be the cool aunt. She still wants to maintain some of that, a little bit of that distance, a little bit less of that responsibility, even though she ends up taking on more and more of the kind of faux motherly duties as the series goes on, even kind of serving as her protector against Kasami.
Yeah.
Where she takes him aside and is like, you lay a hand on her and I will make your life hell.
And then he's like, okay, what about you? I like you.
She's like, what?
What? What is this madness?
You don't want me, I'm old.
Yeah. You don't want me, I'm old, but still pretty. But yeah, like, and also, you know, the acceptance of non-hetero families was good. I was like, thank you. Even though that's like, we don't really see much of anybody's family, I guess, besides Mikuri's parents going to live in the countryside, which I love. I love how, like, surprised Mikuri was that it happened. Like, they just, like, impromptu were like, we're retired, we're getting out here, bye. And she's like, what? Like,
and the part I found most relatable with her parents and Hiramasa's parents is that once, you know, they believe their kids to be married, they started with the, hey, when are you having kids? You should have kids. You better have kids. Are you having kids yet?
Kids. And Yuri's like, whatever, just then, and they go away.
Like, I'm sterile. And his mother's like, oh God, I'm sorry I did this to you.
Oh, I forgot about that silly part. Oh my God. Do they ever bring the, does that ever clarify it again? Oh, his poor parents.
I don't think so. That's also early on when they're only beginning to figure out they're actually kind of into one another. So dealing with that sort of thing is just awkward for them. It's like, oh, I can't talk about this. They're my boss. They're my employee.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely forgot that happened. It's pretty funny. But by the end, they're definitely like, we'll have kids someday. I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever floats your boat. But yeah, so it's just a great manga. But I feel like, do we have anything else to say about those things?
Thematically, I don't think so. But then you got to talk about the art, because the art is kind of the one big caveat have about the series.
Yeah. You want to explain why?
Yeah. Umino is not the greatest artist. It's not that her character designs are terrible. I think they're pretty nifty. But she has a very flat style.
Yes.
And part of this is she doesn't use a lot of shading, so it does kind of look literally flat, like lighting wise, but even the characters themselves just feel kind of flat and stiff, like paper cutouts.
Yeah, especially when they're drawn from like not straight on angles, like they're supposed to have more depth, and you look at them and you're like, that's a little funky, like, I don't know what's going on there.
But admittedly, I personally was willing to forgiveness because the writing was so sharp, and because she would keep including like those moments where Mikuri would daydream and kind of internally discuss her own problems through, you know, these wacky little daydreams where she's like doing interviews as like a TV documentary, or like the kiss and cry at a sporting event, or a musical number.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's pretty much what I would say too, is that like the art not the best, but like there are moments of playfulness that I think that she gives. And like, you know, it's just that her the way that she draws things is not super strong, but she is willing to put in a stylistic, unconventional mode of telling things that it's like, okay, that's compelling. Definitely everything the characters say is compelling. So like, and I do think that like the cover of volume one, I'm like, I'm so into this illustration of McCurry in a weird panda hat or whatever. Like, it's cute. Like, it's fine. I think the most jarring thing to me is looking at their necks and seeing how she just like draws a line with an Adam's apple, but it like just goes all the way down. I'm like, no, that's fine. Anytime I stare at that too long, I'm like, ah.
Although one thing I will give her credit is that she does manage to convey Yuri's age without kind of going overboard. Like, a lot of mangaka, regardless of genre, can't really do older people. They're like, add some wrinkles there, done. Mm. And it just looks like a 20-something person with, like, makeup wrinkles drawn on.
Yeah.
But she manages just with those little sidelines along her mouth and, you know, slightly tired-looking eyes, manages to convey Yuri's age very simply, but not in a distracting sort of way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I guess I'm, like, I don't have any prominent examples in my mind of other things to compare it to. But, yeah, I was definitely like, okay, Yuri, she's old, but not, like, overemphasized old. That's good.
I can think of a lot of shoujo series I've seen just during my time reviewing where just older people look like they're literally wearing like fake beards or like have wrinkles drawn on because they don't know how to age up these bishonen.
Aww. Okay. Sad. yeah, I'm trying to think about anything else artistically. I think there's just fun moments where it's like she makes a joke about like Full Metal Alchemist. Some, yes! Alchemist joke. I'm like, that's fun.
And there's some culturally, I guess, more culturally insular ones. Like one of Mikuri's fantasy sequences is she imagines herself as an Inca singer.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I bet this was also fun to translate. Trying to make it like a good song in English while maintaining the original meaning. I'm like,
in a genre that Americans do not know.
Right. I was like, ugh. Tough. But it was pulled off well. Like, I remember that scene being like, this is pretty funny.
Yeah, as the series goes on, she gets a lot more confident in her visual gags. Like, I just remember one where Mikuri is freaked out and she just pictures herself as an astronaut in a suit out in space.
Oh, yeah.
Further away. Or a similar sequence with Hiramatsu where he's kind of freaked out and she manages to convey it beautifully in just a sequence of his head just zooming out further and further away. But it's so effective.
Right, yeah. So, like, those things to me are, like, that's much more important than her being able to, like, always draw the characters looking their best selves. I'm like, yeah, whatever. That's fine. Just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so do we want to move on to not love quiz?
Sure.
So our love quiz segment will definitely not be a love quiz because this manga sure is romantic, but it's mostly about work. Let's not lie.
That keeps happening with my stuff.
I know. Well, you got to pick one that's more just about people being in love. I don't know. So this is from Quartz, and it's, this quiz will show you the job that best fits your work style, which I feel like McCurry definitely should have taken. So we're gonna do it for the McCurry.
Okay.
I don't feel like reading all this long text because it's like a lot of text. So we're just going to go into the questions. First question is, in a perfect world, how often would you speak to your coworkers? Answers, all the time. It doesn't have to be constant, but I like regular interaction. A few check-ins a day is enough. I prefer my quiet time. Something like never? It doesn't make much difference to me. Okay, see, I was immediately like, Hiramasa, here's his answers. No, we're not taking McCurry's answer. What would McCurry answer? Okay.
I think it would be the regular interaction was, because we see she's very big on getting praise.
Yeah. And she definitely does not prefer quiet time. Definitely never. So yeah, okay. It doesn't have to be constant, but I like regular interaction. Okay, question two. Do you like to meet new people while you're working? Customers, suppliers, and so on? Answers. Social interaction is my oxygen. I need it to live. Sure, I'm a people person. Only when necessary. And they better make an appointment. Nope. Who are you and why are you asking so many questions?
Mikuri is definitely a people person.
A people person.
Not surprisingly for someone who got a psych degree.
Yeah, right. I also am like, Makuri, is it really this hard for you to find a job? I don't understand.
Well, I guess there's not necessarily a huge opening for people with masters in psychology.
I guess so. Question 3. In my most comfortable conversations with coworkers, I stick to the facts and don't get personal. I coordinate plans or work with others. I gently persuade people and try to learn how they think and feel. I push to win someone over to my side. I relish the give and take of a complicated negotiation or judgment call.
Because I feel like I coordinate plans or I gently persuade people are equally relevant to how she handles people.
Yeah.
Like, she likes to plan things out, but because of her background in psychology, she's able to kind of analyze people's feelings and try to work with that in positive, constructive ways.
Yeah, and what pushes me towards gently persuade people is, like, her initial plan about getting more physical with Hiramasa is definitely, like, a psychology challenge to her, right? Like, she's like, I have now analyzed him. Here are the ways that I think in which I can get him to open up to me more. And it's kind of like both her being like, I want to get closer to him because I like him, but also like, I want to get closer to him because I have a psychology degree and I think that I could help him in some way. I don't know. I'm going to go gently persuade people.
I think I'll go with that too.
Okay. You could choose to disagree. next question. My preferred type of interaction with clients at work is, quote, order number 72 is ready for pickup. Here's the updated schedule. Check your shift and please let me know if you have any questions. That sounds like an exciting goal. Let's figure out how you're going to get there. Here's a plan for how we are going to get our numbers up this quarter. Your honor, the people rest. That sounds like an exciting goal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's McCurry's style. next thing. When a problem comes up, I'm most comfortable when there are set guidelines that I can follow. I have the freedom to make my own decisions and how to handle it. I don't even want to read the next one because that one's clearly the right one, but it's a complex problem with no clear answer. That's where I thrive. Oh, that one's actually surprisingly might be relevant.
I feel like she, at least when it comes to her emotions, she likes having guidelines.
Oh, but then I feel like, you know, her whole deal is that she likes coming up with answers and then people are like, nah, why'd you give me 50 million suggestions when I didn't ask you for one?
She's like, oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. My brain, it's thinking. Well, we can disagree.
So I'll go with guidelines.
Okay. Now I have to choose between the two that I actually think are both relevant. Oh, no. I don't know. I'm going to go with complex problem. what's your ideal pace? No time to waste. I'll sleep when I'm dead, or at least when my shift ends. I don't need a lot of downtime, but like to keep things steady. What's the rush?
Definitely the middle one.
Yeah. Because she's definitely not like, I work all the time. Woo. Okay. Do you like to be outside? Ah, the great outdoors. I prefer glow for fluorescent lights and heating/cooling. I can go either way. It's good to mix it up.
I would say the last one, because this story mostly takes place in a lot of apartments and office buildings. But, you know, they do go out on the occasional outing, like when they go on their honeymoon to the inn or when they go strawberry picking with a bunch of Hiramasa's coworkers. And she has fun doing that.
Yeah. And I assume that, you know, part of her cleaning duties, she has to, like, go to the supermarket and be outside a lot. So,
oh, yeah,
she's getting some fresh air there. All right. How do you feel about handling liquids or wet things at work? If it's necessary, I guess. What? No.
Definitely the first one. I mean, the first moment they bond is when Hiramasu gets sick with like a stomach virus.
Oh, yeah. That's their moment of bonding, is that he's sick and she's like, I can help you. And he's like, no. And then she comes back and he's like, I'm going to throw up. Please help me. Good times. And she does. Cute. Okay, last question. How physical are you willing or able to get at work? Lifting things, running, etc. Let's get physical. Work is for sitting. I'm somewhere in between.
I'd say let's get physical since most of her job is cleaning the house. So lifting, running back and forth to various errands and stores and whatnot.
Yeah, and hugging Hiramasa.
Yes, she places great importance on physical contact.
Yeah.
On physical action.
Aw, so let's get physical. Okay, so the answer I got is nurse practitioner is the best job for your work style. Physical therapist, occupational therapist, and insurance salesperson can also fit you well. therapists.
I got the same main answer, nurse practitioner, but the alternatives from mine were personal care aide, butcher, and lifeguard or ski patrol.
Oh, okay. That's very different. I would love for her to be ski patrol, though. I think that's what she should go to. Lifeguard is also good, but you know, ski patrol. Okay, so, you know, not a heavily romance manga, but there are some ships here. So we should talk about them and how much we do or do not love them. So we've got Mikuri and Hiramasa. I think we do love them, yes?
Yes, they are adorable. And it comes down to their needs. With Mikuri, you know, early on, she just states in her own mind, I guess everyone wants to feel needed. And later on, Hiramasa's like, I guess everyone wants to feel love. And in a way, they end up satisfying those needs for one another. And it's just, it's so freaking cute.
Yeah, again, in the beginning, I was like, I'm not so sold on Hiramasa through, like, the first three or four volumes. But then once he starts, like, once they start getting physical and he opens up a little bit, I'm like, oh, you're just so adorable, you little...
freaking moe!
It's true. And I don't... Yeah, it's just like... I guess I always wish that he didn't have the permanent creepy glasses thing going on. Where she, like, doesn't draw his eyes behind his glasses. So he always just looks impassive or whatever. But I got over it, I guess. Then we have Kazami and Yuri.
I warmed up to a lot more than I realized versus when that kind of dynamic between them started. Because initially, it's very antagonistic and not in the slap-slap kiss sort of way.
Yeah, I was curious, like, if you liked them in the end since you were a little hesitant on the Kazami.
Yeah, she mostly just keeps smacking him down because she just sees him as a feckless pretty boy. But he's intrigued by her because, you know, she's one of the few women in his life who's not like, hey, marriage, 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 marriage. And they end up bonding, and there actually, it does become something of a spark between them. And then it becomes more about her insecurities, about her age, and about her ability to reproduce. But it does end up being sweet in its own way.
Yeah, I mean, the whole time I was kind of like, this is going to happen, right? Okay, it's happening now in volume, like, 7, finally. It's,
yeah, because like, you realize, okay, Mikuri and Hiramasa basically worked out their problems by volume 6. This is a 9-volume series. How are we going to fill the rest of that time?
Yeah, I was like, so, like, Kazami and Yuri, it's gotta pick up, right? Okay, it has. And I definitely was like, I always thought it was sweet. It's kind of weird to think that Kazami only does it because she initially doesn't want him. Like, all right, you liked hard to get things, I guess. I don't know. Whatever, fine.
But also just because they're at the same speed as far as levels of commitment. Like, in the end, they want to be together, but, like, they're not necessarily looking to get married. They just want to be together. And that's fine for the both of them.
Yeah. Trying to remember my train of thought that I, like, have lost
twice. And he can be honest with her about his needs, and, you know, she can smack him down when he's getting too arrogant.
Yeah, and I love that she initially just keeps calling him the hot one. And then eventually is like, oh, maybe he has a name. Maybe I should use it sometime. But it's so much easier to just call him the hot one. I guess it's like before they go out drinking together all the time, she just refers to him as the hot one. And then once they actually like hang out all the time, she's like, eh, I guess he has a name that I should use. Cool. And then I feel like the only other semi-explicit relationship is Numata and Oshimizu. And Oshimizu was like one of their coworkers at the end there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've forgotten. Numata kind of quietly hooks up with Oshimizu near the end.
Yeah, after they, like, accidentally slept together after a work outing, after they had a Hanami party.
Yeah. And then it's kind of awkward because Numata, you know, had been kind of pursuing Hiramasa a little when they were working together, but now he's in a position like, oh, crap, I slept with a coworker. What do I do? This is kind of awkward.
Yeah, and that's how it comes out to Hiramasa that, like, Numata has thought he's been having a secret relationship with Kazami the whole time. He's like, I'm seeking your advice because you've been going out with Kazami this whole time. He's like, what? No. I guess, but Numata and Oshimizu is, like, not given super amount of time. And I'm like, I don't, Oshimizu seemed a little, annoying, but...
And the only other relationships are a note are a couple of women Kasami briefly dates or at least interacts with between Mikuri and Hiramasa finally getting serious and him getting together with Yuri. And they're not really proper relationships. They're just kind of, they give him the perspective he needs to kind of settle on, no, I want to be with Yuri.
Yeah, he like keeps going out with Igarashi.
Igarashi.
Yeah. He keeps going out with her being like, we're not on a date. I'm just like humoring you. And she's like, we're on a date, silly. Like, come on. He's like, what? No, I hate you. Positivity monster. Get away from me. So I definitely don't know what to make of that whole, some of the girls that came in at the end were weird. And I think it was partially explained in the author's note that was like, because it had been turned into a TV drama and they started doing different things that she like, you know, they both started influencing each other and that she started bringing in characters that were in the drama just to like make an appearance in the manga. And I was like, okay, that definitely feels like it explains the, I forget what her name was, the girl who has like an assistant who's always with her and they're always trying to get Kazami to like pay attention to them and he never does. And I'm like, why are you here?
What is happening? Because running gags.
Yeah, I was like, I don't get it. Wasn't into that gag, I guess, is the issue. I assume there's nobody, I mean, it's like, there were no other like alternative ships offered besides Kazami and Mikuri possibly of being a thing.
Unless you really had the feeling they were gonna like do some sort of weird polyamorous thing with Mikuri, Hiramasa, and Kazami.
Oh yeah, I guess that was always, I did always be like, is it gonna go there? But it didn't go there.
He definitely frames it provocatively because when he proposes there, proposes it to Hiramasa, he's like, I think we should share Mikuri. And he's like, what? And the reader's like, what?
What? Yeah,
and
yeah.
And explain, no, it's more of a work share thing. But still, for a moment, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, I guess I definitely did get that impression initially. But then I was like, oh, no, that's not where it went. Oh, sad. Sad. Would have been cool if it went full polyamory exploration. But that's okay. I'm fine with what it was. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, it's like, I feel like Kazami and Mikuri maybe could have worked out, but I don't want it necessarily, so whatever.
Yeah, they work well as friends, but I can't see their relationship lasting.
Right, because Kazami is Kazami, and that's just kind of how that would work. I assume our OCP is Mikuri and Hirasama.
Yes, of course.
Of course. Easy peasy questions. Are there any other final thoughts that you wanted to bring up? Final plug to make people read this manga if they somehow suffered through this and didn't.
Yes, if any of this sounded interesting, please do not sleep on this series. I don't think the live-action drama has been licensed here by any of the companies that handle that sort of thing streaming. So, yeah, the only way to experience this legally is buying it digital. And I know some people, they don't like reading digital manga for various reasons. But no, do not sleep on this series. This the full-time wife escapist is criminally underrated. We always need more Jose over here. So definitely do not sleep on this one. Particularly if you enjoyed something like Tadareba Girls.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely do feel, I'm like, oh no, all the digital only, being digital only means people are going to complain about how they don't read digital manga, whatever. Like, this is digital age. Read some digital manga legally. And yeah, I definitely meant to look into whether the drama had been licensed here. But yeah, I was just like assuming, my default assumption would be that it's not. I would totally watch it if it was, though. Definitely curious.
Yeah, because we don't get a lot of Jose anime just because these stories tend to be a little smaller in scale. So when they do get adapted, it does tend to be more live action.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also my understanding of how it works in Japan is that, you know, it's the same way in America that a live action show is more popular than a cartoon. Like, it having a live action genre is actually means that many more people have seen it than if it was just an anime.
Right, because it's airing in prime time.
Yeah, instead of whenever anime airs at like 2 a.m. or whatever in Japan. Weird times.
We're on cable.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and I assume if more people buy it digitally, Kodansha will feel more compelled to print it.
Yes.
My understanding of how this works.
Yes, the more people who buy it, the more people who look at it, the more people who talk about it, the more likely they are to put it out in print. It happened with Tadareba Girls. It could happen with The Full-Time Wife Escapist.
We can do it, y'all. Believe in us. Thanks for listening to Shoujo and Tell. Comments, questions, constructive criticism, concerns, need to gush about your OTP? Email shoujoandtell@gmail.com or leave a comment on shoujoandtell.com/wifeescapists. We're at Shoujo and Tell on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram. I believe that is actually all the things for once. I finally put Tumblr in there. Megan, where can people find you and your work on the internet?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at brainchild129. I also do have a separate Twitter for the manga test drive. The test drive itself, that's at mangatestdrive.blogspot.com. You can also visit the side site, renaissancejose.blogspot.com, for longer reviews, as well as some regular features like the Crunchyroll Manga Sampler and Disaster Report, where I talk about bad anime.
Oh, no.
And like I said, I do occasionally do some work for Anime Feminist, so you can read my previous work there, and hopefully I will have others in the future.
Yep. Oh, you have so many things. I do nothing. Okay. Are you excited every time you see a new episode from us? If so, please consider leaving a rating in iTunes or Stitcher, or wherever else ratings in Google Play, I don't know, all these places. This will help the podcast reach more hearts, or at least ears. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next time for Pre-Tier by Junichi Saito and Kaori Naruse, or Princess Jellyfish by Akiko Higashimura. Why don't I know which one? Because scheduling with a new person every episode is actually really hard. And it's more fun to be surprised, right, audience? Whatever, just stay tuned for the next episode. Bye.